7 this morning, 2 Kings chapter 7. And, you know, we've been studying Elijah in Sunday school, but this is his successor, Elisha. I don't know why they had to have similar names. I sometimes get them mixed up. Was that Elijah or Elisha? But Elisha also had a drought, just like Elijah did in his days. And it had been about 3.5 years. And so he shows up to the king, and Elisha says, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we ask that you open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Anoint me, Lord, to speak only what you would have me say. And Lord, we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So Elisha is telling them something that seems totally inconceivable. They are in a drought that's so bad they're boiling donkey's heads and eating dove dung. That doesn't sound very appealing to me, does it to you? And so this man of God, this man of faith shows up, and he makes this declaration saying, about this time tomorrow, you're going to be buying flour for a few pennies. That's basically what he's saying. And you know, that seems inconceivable to the natural man. I mean, we're in the middle of a drought. There's no crop. The animals have all died. We're boiling donkey heads to get a little bit of meat off of their head. And how in the world could this happen? Now the officer on whose hand the king leaned answers and says to the man of God, "Look, if the Lord were to open windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" Now you know, we live in a time where people just don't believe the miracles of God anymore. We live in a time where you try to talk to people about God or the coming judgment and they laugh at you because they do not believe. Jesus said, in the last days, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, I can answer the question, Lord, no. Nobody has faith. And those of us that do, we even struggle sometimes because we're living in a world where nobody believes, and we tell them and it gets so frustrating. But this man on whom the king leans, this assistant to the king, this officer of the king, makes this declaration, if God were to open windows in heaven, could such a thing be? In other words, he's saying, even if God could open a window in heaven, there's no way that there would be enough for flour to be sold for a few cents. You know, people would be paying hundreds of dollars for it. We're all starving to death. And Elisha replied, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat any of it. And doubt and unbelief never receives, does it? Everybody else can receive, but when you start speaking doubt and fear and unbelief, when you start speaking it, you will never receive. But God can change the situation just like that. God took Joseph from a prison in Egypt and made him prime minister in one day. In one day, everything can change. In 1 hour, everything can change. In 1 minute, everything can change. Mary is going to the tomb crying because Jesus is crucified. And in 1 minute, she's looking at the risen Christ. In 1 minute, everything can change. And when we recognize that God can change our situation, God can change our circumstance, God can change anything, then we can put on the mantle of faith and begin to get excited in the midst of a drought and say, God can change this. Amen. If God can do it, God can do it. Amen. And the God I serve didn't stay in the tomb. He's alive. The God that I serve is the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that walked on water. Jesus walked on water. He's the same God that shut the mouth of the lions and had 3 Hebrew children go in a fire that they liked so much they had to be called out of it because Jesus was in the fire. That's the God I serve this morning. Amen. And He can change any circumstance in 1 minute's time. Praise God. He can do it. Now, the story changes. We move from that scene to a scene where there are 4 lepers four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. Now, leprosy, of course, is a type of sin in the Old Testament because the nerve systems are attacked by leprosy and they have no feeling. I heard a missionary tell a story about a woman that had a leprosy, and they would be digging beans and they found her finger in the beans because she didn't know she lost it, because you have no feeling, right? And when you sin, it desensitizes you and you have no feeling. You become calloused, insensitive to other people. That's what sin does. So leprosy is a type of sin. So these four leprous men are at the entrance of the gate, and they ask a question amongst themselves. Why are we sitting here until we die? You know, all through the Bible, there are characters who decide to get up. Right? There are characters who decide to get up. Moses decided to get up and go see why that bush wasn't consumed. If he didn't get up and go see, none of that would have happened. There are people who decide to get up and go see. There are type of people that quit sitting and start doing. Amen? The Bible tells us that faith is a verb of action. Amen? That faith gets up and does something. It doesn't just talk about it. And so here, these leprous men ask this question, why should we sit here till we die? In other words, what have we got to lose, right? You know, sometimes people are timid about sharing their faith. What do you got to lose? I heard Kent Hovind, the creation evangelist, say one time, well, I might offend them. He said, what are you going to do? Offend them, send them off to hell number two? You know, they're already going to hell. I mean, what more damage could you do to that, right? And so why sit here till we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, the famine is there in the city, and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore come and let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we'll live. And if they kill us, we're only going to die. We're going to die anyway. And so they begin to look at what their options are. What options do you have? Well, if God's in the formula, you got options. Amen? If God is in the formula, your options are, I think I'll just get up and believe God's word. I think I'll just get up and believe that God can change my circumstance. I think I'll just get up and believe that God wins. I think I'll just get up and believe that God has power. I think I'll just get up and believe that God can do anything. He can do anything. The God that we serve can do anything. Jesus said it's impossible for a rich man to get into heaven. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. Peter said, well, how can anybody get saved? He said, with God, all things are possible. God can squinch down a little camel and put it through an eye of a needle and inflate him again. So that sounds silly. Well, it's as silly as an axe head swimming. Amen? It's as silly as a Red Sea parting. It's as silly as a fish and loaves of a little kid feeding 5,000. That's the God we serve. He does things that are silly by the natural standpoint, but we call it miracles. We call it a miracle working God. Amen? And so they said, why are we going to sit here? We die. So they said, you know, if the Syrians keep us alive, great. Otherwise, we're going to die anyway. So they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. Now, let me tell you why. For the Lord, look who's doing this. It's not man, this is God. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. And so they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Now, let me just remind you about something that maybe you forgot. 2,000 years ago, between the crucifixion and the resurrection, there was an event that happened. Jesus went to hell and invaded the camp. Amen? And I can just imagine what they heard. It sounded like an army of horses. Hell's pillars begin to shake. The demons begin to fall off their feet. Satan began to say, what's that? sounds like an army of chariots and horses invading hell. It was one man. King Jesus was coming. Amen? And the Bible says, before he ascended, he descended to the lowest parts of the earth. And he led those people that had faith in God out of hell and brought them up to heaven. Amen? He emptied out the enemy's camp. Woo! I said he emptied out the enemy's camp. He emptied out the enemy's camp. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it's still empty today because of King Jesus. It's still empty today. And they're still shaking today. You see those demons in the gospel. You come to torment us. They're still shaking today. Church, don't shake. The demons shake. We win. We win. We win. And so these lepers are going to go to the Syrian camp. They don't know that God has emptied out the enemies. And any time the devil lies to you and tells you you're not going to make it, you don't have what it takes, you forget King Jesus done and emptied out the enemy's camp, church. It's okay. We're going to make it. God wins. Amen. God wins. Hallelujah. So the Lord caused the army of the Syrians to flee. And so, where am I at here? Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight, left the camp intact. It says tents and horses and donkeys, and they fled for their lives. What it doesn't say is a whole lot of food too, right? So when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went in one tent, and they ate and they drank. These guys are having a party. Woo-hoo! Right? Knocking them back. And they carried from it silver and gold and clothes, and they went and they hid some of it because they don't know if they're coming back. Then they came back and they entered another tent and carried out some more also, and they went and they hid it. So these guys are having a great time. But you know, God did not save you to have a good time. I told you, you know, you guys know I have a Pentecostal background, but I do have a problem with Pentecostals because all they want to do is stand on the mountaintop and sing and shout when there's a world that's lost and dying down here. Amen? And so there has to be a balance between the partying, which I love, to sing and shout and praise the Lord, and the ministry of reaching the lost. Amen? And if you just do that, you're missing the whole point of getting saved. Amen? We get saved. I remember when I first got saved, all of a sudden, all those jokes that I used to tell with all those other sinners just didn't sound as fun to me anymore. And in fact, I hated being around all those sinners when last week I was doing exactly what they did. But you know, when you're born again, your whole nature changes. And for weeks I prayed, Lord, get me out of here. Finally God said, that's why I saved you, dummy. He didn't say dummy, but you could have inserted dummy in there because that was pretty dumb. I'm asking God, get me out of there. And He's saying, I will put you there as a witness. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, they're carrying all this stuff out and they're having a great time. And then one of them says to the other one, hey, we're not doing right, man. This is a day of good news and we remain silent. And you know, that's the thing, is God didn't save us to be silent. He saved us to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. He saved us to be a witness. And you would be surprised if you go through discouragement or depression or anything like that, you'd be surprised how your whole personality can change if you share the gospel with one person, whether they receive it or not. Because there comes a joy from giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And when you begin to give out the good news of Jesus Christ, you begin to share with others, he that winneth souls is wise. When you begin to, he that waters others is himself refreshed, you'll see that your attitude begins to change. Amen. And so these guys said, this is a day of good news. You know, the gospel is good news. And the gospel works. It works in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. It works in Muskogee. It works in Tulsa. It works in Calcutta. It works in communist China. You know, it works in Iran and Iraq. And it works in Israel. It works anywhere. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a witness, and then the end will come. And Jesus is coming soon. This is a day of good news. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with somebody. Amen. And so they said, this day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. I'm not even going to touch that. We'll just leave that alone. Now, therefore, come and let us go and tell the king's household. Now, the Bible says judgment must begin in the house of the Lord, and the king's household is where it all begins. Amen. We are the king's household right here. Church is the king's household. That church, this church, every church, that's the king's household. And it starts there. We tell people there. We are the hospital for the saints. We preach faith. We preach love. We preach forgiveness. We are the king's household. Amen. And Jesus, you know, when we read in Revelation these golden candlesticks he's carrying, some commentators say these are those pastors of those seven churches. Because the pastor has an enormous responsibility to all the churches in the king's household to preach. I feel sorry for pastors that quit preaching the blood, or quit preaching faith, or quit preaching forgiveness. There are these seeker-friendly churches that have taken the blood completely out. They don't ever have communion, even though Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. I feel sorry for them, because they are going to answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And I tell you, it's a fearful thing to stand in this pulpit and understand the awesome responsibility that comes with it. And, you know, I don't know why Faith Fellowship has never grown in 20 years more than about 25 at one time. But I have tried to be faithful to the Lord and to His Word in those 20 years, not 25. And you know, that's, I have to answer to Him. Amen. He's my boss. Somebody said, you know, well, do you have deacons and do you have all this accountability? I said, I'm accountable to Jesus. I don't know any higher accountability than that. You know, I don't need to be accountable to man when I fear God. I walk the line, let me tell you. And I'm not talking about Johnny Cash. But anyway, so they went and they called the gatekeeper of the city and they told him, saying, we went to the Syrian camp and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound. Only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact. You know, I think that a lot of times the lies of the devil make us believe something that's not true. And this statement, surprisingly, the camp was empty. You know, we should not be surprised that the devil is scared of us. Well, really, scared of Jesus, right? I mean, that story of the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, we don't want to be cocky about it. These guys thought they could just throw the name of Jesus out there and one demon stripped seven of them of their clothes and tore them to shreds and sent them running. I don't want, I hear people rebuke the devil, and there's probably nothing unscriptural about that, but I'd assume Jesus be between me and the devil all the time, amen? In fact, in the book of Jude, when the devil was contending for the body of Moses, the angel simply said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And that's where I want to be, Lord, between, you know. But the camp is empty. I know I already said this, but they said, surprisingly, the camp is empty. Don't be surprised that the camp is empty. Don't be surprised that God is in control. You may feel like God's not in control. Your situation may not look like God is in control, but don't be surprised. God is in control. Amen. When we look at Biden and what all is happening in America, God is in control. Don't be surprised. It's okay. It's going to be all right. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then all hell can break loose, but it's okay. God is in control. Amen. When they come to get Jesus that night to take him away, he said, whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. Remember last week we read it. They all fell backwards. They weren't in control. Jesus was in control. If you come to get me, let these people go. We'll let them go. He's in control. He never stopped being in control all the way to the cross, all the way through the cross, all the way to the end. Jesus is in control. It's okay. Don't be surprised. Amen. Don't be surprised. And so now, they said, come on, let us tell the king go. And they went to the gatekeeper of the city, and they said to him, we went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied in tents. And the gatekeepers called them out, and they told it to the king's household inside. And so the king arose in that night, and he said to his servants, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the fields, saying, when they come out of the city, we'll catch them alive and we'll get into the city. You know, there are people today who call themselves theologians who are liberal theologians who will tell you that many of the miracles in the Bible didn't happen. The Red Sea crossing, it was called a reed sea. And it was only this, you know, 4 inches deep, and the wind would come down, and all of a sudden the waters would like part. And I always wonder, well, there's a miracle. All of Pharaoh's army was drowned in 4 inches. These guys are so stupid. I mean, they're just stupid. It's stupid not to believe God. I'm telling you, if you're watching by YouTube, listening by the internet, it's stupid not to believe God. Because one day soon, you know, when Jesus went into the temple and saw the money changers there, and he got mad. Now you say, well, Jesus got mad. I can get mad. No, Jesus was not out of control because he had time to weave a whip while he watched them. Amen. If you get mad and you're out of control, you need to repent. There's a difference between that kind of anger and righteous indignation. He was in control. He wasn't out of control. He weaved a whip. He watched them. And when the time was right, he flipped over those tables and beat them with a whip. You know what I think that was? I was thinking about that driving in this morning. I think that was a dress rehearsal for when he went to hell and cleaned out the place. You know? He's like, okay, I'm going to clean out the money changers. In a few more days, I'm going to clean out hell. Woo! Come on, church. That's my Jesus, amen? He gave the devil a black eye. He nailed the handwriting that was against us to the cross. And when God sees us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ and declares him not guilty. Glory to God. That's my Jesus. So they're trying to explain away this miracle like some of these liberal theologians do. And one of his servants answered, said, well, please, let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like the multitude of Israel that they're left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. Well, you know, that's what the Bible says. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Some people stand on the bank. They don't want to get their toes wet in the Holy Spirit. But, you know, go ahead and taste and see. Go ahead and just step in the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Go ahead and just put God to the test and see if what I'm saying isn't true. If the God of the Bible is true, if the power of the Holy Spirit is true, if the anointing, the unction of the Holy Ghost is true, go ahead and taste and see. Go ahead and just try it, man. Hallelujah. And so they said, you know, we might as well send some guys and just try it. And so they took 2 chariots with horses. And the king sent them in the direction of the Syrians, saying, go and see. Go ahead and just go and see. Say that with me, go and see. Whatever you're going through right now, just go ahead and put on faith and just go and see what God can do. Amen. Quit saying what you're feeling. Quit saying what you're thinking. Quit saying those voices that the devil put in. And just start saying, well, preacher said that God's bigger. Preacher said that God cleared out hell for me. Preacher said that God nailed the handwriting against me to the cross. Preacher said that I can have faith that God could even shrink a camel and put it through an eye of a needle. If God can do that, I think I'll just go and see. I think I'll just see if that preacher's right. I think I'll just put him to the test. And if he's wrong, we'll run him out of town October 31st. And if he's right, we'll say, man, that was a good preacher. I'm glad I listened to him. I'm having fun this morning. I hope you guys don't mind. So they said, well, you know, let's just go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed all of the roads was full of garments and weapons, and the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. And so the messengers returned and told the king, and then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. It's like someone opened up Walmart and saying, just get whatever you want. Amen. Some of us would go to the electronics aisle. Some of us go to the Cheetos aisle. I mean, you know, depends on the person. But you know, it's all there. Just go grab it. And there's talk about looting, you know. And so they went there and they just grabbed all this. People went out and they plundered the tents of Syrians. And so, just as God said, a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. You know, one day we will stand before Jesus Christ. And I think the heaviest judgment we will experience is not, did you lust or did you lie or did you cheat? It's, did you really believe my words? Did you really believe it? You know, my mentor, Pastor Chuck Smith, told a story years ago. Some of you guys have heard me tell this before, about how he was working, like me, bivocational. He was working for a Skaggs Alpha Beta out in California, and he was pastoring Calvary Chapel, small non-denominational church, much like ours. And his mother-in-law passed away. I think this story was his mother-in-law. And they had to go to Arizona or somewhere. And they pretty much depleted all their funds for the funeral, for the trip, and got back. And he went back to work, and they said, Chuck, he was a meat cutter. He said, union dues are due, I don't know, a couple $100 or so. And he said, well, man, I'm just flat broke. As soon as I get my first check, I'll pay you. And they said, well, we can't let you work. We can't let you work without paying union dues. Well, I'm broke. He said, I'm sorry. And so he didn't know what to do, you know. I mean, when you're broke, you're broke. And they a day later, he got a call from the big boss, and he said, I have another job for you. He said, you've been a faithful employee. And he goes, I've got the supervisor job for you, and it pays a lot more. He said, but this little part-time thing you do with the church, you couldn't do that because you'd be on call. And, you know, he said the church wasn't growing much. I can relate to that. And he was very discouraged, and he was contemplating, should I just quit? And so he decided to go and see, just take a step of faith. So they begin to pray, and they put all their bills out on the table, he and his wife Kay, and they begin to tell the Lord what their needs were. And within a couple of days, of something like $700 or $800, within a couple of days, they got a call from some friends. They said, Chuck, the Lord put you on our heart, and we want you to know we mailed you a check for, and it was about $20 more than what they needed. And he said he went in the kitchen after he hung up, and he grabbed his wife Kay, and he began to dance around the kitchen praising God of all of his goodness and faithfulness. And then he sat down, and the Lord said to him, how do you know they really put that check in the mail? He said, oh Lord, I've known these people years. They're good people. They wouldn't say that. Their word is good. He said, well, I promise to supply all your needs. My word is good, and I never saw you dancing around the kitchen with Kay at my promises. Ouch. And he said, oh Lord, you're right. I'm sorry. You know, the level of our faith is the level of, can I dance at the promises of God in spite of what I see? If God said it, He'll do it. And if He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. And we can trust God in our worst hour. And so, let me read it again. A seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel according to the word of the Lord. Now, the last part. The king had appointed the officer on whom whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled him at the gate, and he died just as the man of God said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a shekel be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate. And then the officer who answered and the man of God said, now look, if the Lord could make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he had in fact said, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat out of it. And so it happened to him. For the people had trampled him at the gate, and he died. Unbelief will kill you, and you will never receive. Amen. Diane, come on up. Hallelujah. We're gonna pray this morning. And I know that many people are facing some challenges in your life. Just play softly whatever you like. I don't care. Many people are facing some challenges in your life. And it's one thing to have these great sermons of faith, but on Tuesday night or Thursday morning or Friday afternoon, when things are bleak and when situations come up, it's not always easy to have faith. It's a challenge. But all through the Scriptures, God challenges us to take Him at His word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And I just challenge you this morning as we pray to ask the Lord to help you to help you to be like Elisha, a man of faith, like Elijah, like Moses. And let God be God in your life in a supernatural way. Have the audacity to dance at the promises of God when you don't know what's coming next. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we thank you for the precious promises of God, for these great stories of faith that encourage us to recognize today as a day of good news, to recognize that you have invaded the enemy's camp and rendered him powerless because of the cross. And so today, Lord, help us to be the men and women of faith that you want us to be as we walk in faith and not by sight, and as we stand on the precious promises of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord.